great job with it. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. We're going to get right into this tonight. As I was studying for the men's retreat a few months ago, I was going through the book of 2 Samuel, reading through it, and this passage of Scripture really caught my attention, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you as much as it's a blessing to me. 2 Samuel chapter 19, I want you to look at verse number 24. We're going to read verses 24 down to verse number 30. This is one of those obscure passages in the Bible that doesn't get very much attention. I don't ever remember hearing anybody preach on this. But I think it's going to be, it's definitely a passage of Scripture that the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I pray that it'll speak to your heart as well. 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse number 24. Let's read along in our Bibles. The Bible says, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was coming to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto the Lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. And all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take it all, forasmuch as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. As I mentioned at the onset of the message tonight, this is a passage of Scripture that really don't get very much attention, even though the characters in this story are very familiar to us. We all know about Mephibosheth. If not, we'll give you a little bit more history to him in just a few minutes. And then also King David. I believe there are some valuable lessons that we can see here in this portion of Scripture about Mephibosheth. And we're given a very clear-cut example of how we, as God's children, are to love the king. If I've noticed one thing about this passage, I've noticed that Mephibosheth loved King David. He loved him very much. And we'll look at that in just a few more minutes as well. But it shows us as well, not only how Mephibosheth loved the king, but I think there's a correlation there how we ought to love our king, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to do tonight, I want to talk to you about how to fall in love with the king. How to fall in love with Jesus. I believe we do it through absolute devotion. I believe that we do it with absolute dedication. And I believe that we do it with absolute delight. Mephibosheth demonstrated his devotion to the king in a very great way. In fact, in the passage of Scriptures that we looked at, it's very evident that he loved King David very much. In fact, it was so rooted that Mephibosheth did some very odd things. You know, whenever you love somebody, you'll do some very odd things, won't you? You remember when you were dating? Some of you say, no, I don't want to remember that. Didn't you do some really odd things? I mean, to show your love? Of course, all of us do. But love is an action. It's an action word, and it involves doing something. So let's look real quick at how this all-consuming devotion showed up in Mephibosheth's life toward David. First of all, let's look at the cause of his devotion. The reason Mephibosheth was so devoted to David can be seen in what David had done for him. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we see the story of what happened to Mephibosheth. I'm sure many of you may know the story. Some of you may not know the story. Let me give you a little brief history of what happened. When Mephibosheth was 5 years old, word had gotten around that his grandfather, Saul, and his father, Jonathan, were killed at Mount Gilboa. As they were running because of all all that was going on, I mean, it was just a madhouse there because of all that was going on, the nurse picked up Mephibosheth and began to run and tripped over her feet or tripped over something and literally dropped Mephibosheth on his head, crippling him for the rest of his life. He was unable to walk. When we get down to 2 Samuel chapter 19, as the son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth was in the line to ascend to the throne of Saul. And in reality, Mephibosheth was a threat to King David and threat to the kingdom of David. Yet David, because of his love for Jonathan and his deep friendship that David had with Jonathan, you remember the covenant that he made with Jonathan? Great covenant, great friendship covenant. And because of that, David wanted to do something for David, for Jonathan, his friend. So he called his servant and said, "Hey, is there anyone left of the house of Saul or Jonathan's family that I may show kindness to or show grace to?" And of course, we know that the servant found Mephibosheth, who was crippled, brought him home and asked him so he could eat at the king's table continually. So David actually had every right to kill Jonathan, or kill Jonathan's family, Saul's family, who Mephibosheth would have been part of, but he showed grace to him because he was a threat to the kingdom. David was very good to Mephibosheth. There was only one place that Mephibosheth ate. That was at the king's table. There's a lot of correlation here. God's been good to us. He's been real good to us. When a child of God, when we stop and we begin to ponder and think about all that God has done for us through Jesus, it's very plain to see that we have abundant reason to love Him, don't we? And we ought to do it with every fiber of our being. And John reminds us that our love for Jesus is rooted in the fact of we love Him because He first loved us. But you know what? I think also we need to do is we need to dig a little bit deeper than that. We know that Jesus loved us. We know that God loved us. But I want you to think of how you were and how I was whenever we sinned against the Lord and we were in our own sins. And if we got what we deserved tonight, we would split hell wide open, wouldn't we? Have you ever just stopped to think, you know what? We don't have to worry about hell. I mean, hell is used as a curse word today, and there's really not any what we hear hellfire brimstone preachers anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Who preach hell real and preach hell hot and that there is going to be an ending place for people who reject Christ, and it is a real place. And we ought to be very thankful that we don't have to worry about that. If we receive justice tonight, we would be forever separated from the presence of God. But yet, through Jesus, we receive grace. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved." Romans 5:20 says, "Moreover, the law entered and the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And because the Lord loved us to that extent, He's willing to send His Son to die for our sins on the cross. Ephesians 2:1 tells us, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." John 6 tells us, "No man can come unto me except the Father hath sent me draw him." We can only be saved when we're drawn of the Holy Spirit. So it's apparent that we owe a very great debt of gratitude, of love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only, I believe that's the cause of our devotion, but I believe also the course of his devotion. What was the course of his devotion? Well, Mephibosheth's great love for David transcended to a life of service and devotion. Because he loved the king so much, it showed up in his life. You know, Mephibosheth probably couldn't have done very much. He was crippled, couldn't walk. But I believe that anything that Mephibosheth could have done for David, he was willing to do. He didn't let his crippled legs hinder him from doing anything that he could for the king because of his great love for him. You know what? We sometimes allow a lot of things to cripple us for our love for Jesus. You know, I have not shared this, Pastor. But the Lord has reminded me about this a lot lately. When I was a kid, I had a stuttering problem. A big stuttering problem. And as the Lord began to call me in the ministry, I said, Lord, I don't know what you could use me for, but I'm more willing to be used. I just want to be used for your service. And then when he called me to be a youth pastor, I was going, Lord, are you sure about this? I mean, I can't even talk right. I mean, I had the same problem that Aaron had. But thanks be to God. I mean, I still stutter sometimes, and I catch myself doing it. I'm kind of ashamed of it sometimes, you know what I mean? But God's been good. And we cannot allow anything to cripple us in our relationship and our love for the Lord. When we genuinely love the Lord with our entire being, you know what? It's going to show up in our life, isn't it? It's going to, in other words, you don't have to run around and saying, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. It's going to show up in your life. It's going to show up in what you do. It's going to show up in what you say. It's going to show up in your witnessing. It's going to show up in your prayer life. It's going to show up in your attention to Scripture. It's going to show up in your attendance to the worship services of the Lord. It's going to show up in your witnessing. It's going to show up in all manner of life, is what Paul said, in all conversation. All I'm saying is that when we are in love with Jesus wholeheartedly, it cannot be hidden. We can't hide it. It can't hide it. It will tell on you, won't it? But not only do we see an absolute devotion, but we also see an absolute dedication. There are three ways I believe that Mephibosheth demonstrated his dedication to King David. And I believe that these traits ought to be seen in us as children of God. First of all, Mephibosheth forsook the world. If you look back at verse number 24, the Bible says, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came in peace. Now, as the grandson of Saul, and with the political turmoil that was evident in the nation of Israel because of what had happened between David and Absalom, Mephibosheth had every right to claim to the throne of Israel. And let me just stop right here. In fact, if we look back in chapter 16, verse number 3, there was an evil report that Ziba, that we read about a while ago, when David was leaving Jerusalem, Ziba came to him and said, you know what? David had asked, hey, where's Mephibosheth at? And Ziba came through and said, hey, I don't know where he's at, but I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to set up his own kingdom, which was, by the way, a lie. He didn't want to do that. Mephibosheth loved the king. And because of his love for the Lord, he placed his devotion to the king ahead of any selfish ambitions that he may have possessed. And what a lesson here for us. There's always a danger that our connection to the world is going to override our dedication to Jesus. The child of God, we as children of God, must be aware that the cares of this world, oft times the cares of this world will steal our love for Jesus. We can't allow that to happen. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And when we allow ourselves to move toward the world, it won't be long till we're more like the world than we are like Jesus. happened to Lot, didn't it? Lot, in his gradual move to Sodom, in Genesis we read that he looked towards Sodom. And then later on, he was leaning towards Sodom. And then later on, he lived in Sodom. And then later on, he lingered in Sodom. And then finally, he was lost in Sodom. And you can mark it down. You can never play around the edge in Christianity, because let me tell you something, you're eventually going to fall off. When the world begins to live in us, it will quickly overshadow our love for the Lord. And we got to be careful for that. And that day will come, let me tell you something, when you'll hear someone say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor. And listen, another big, great biblical story of that as well is how about Samson? How about the life of Samson? The Bible says in Judges that where at the end it says that the Philistines put his eyes out and bound him with fetters and chains. If Samson was here today, he would tell you that sin will blind you, it will bind you, and it will grind you. And that's exactly what sin will do. But also Mephibosheth forgot not only the world, but he also forgot himself. Look back at verse number 24 again. I love this. The entire time that David was away, we think it was a period of several months. This is great. I love reading. This caught my attention when I read it. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and noticed him. Notice how he is. And had neither dressed his feet, hadn't cut his toenails, probably dirty, and then said that he didn't trim his beard, probably looked like the Duck Dynasty guys. And then he says that he hadn't washed his clothes, probably smelt a little bit, from the day the king departed until he came again in peace. Now you say, brother, what does this mean? What this means is that he was in mourning. That's exactly what he was. Why was he in mourning? Because he loved David so much, he was just waiting for him to come back. He was in mourning. Lord, please bring back the king. I mean, he loved him so much. And Mephibosheth neglected himself in what was a display of mourning for David's return. And again, there's another lesson for us here. The lesson is that our will is going to be swallowed up in the will of the Lord. Now, don't miss this. Mephibosheth wasn't worried about himself. All he was worried about was the king. He was worried about his love for the king. He wasn't worried about how he looked. He didn't worry about how he smelled. He didn't worry about anything. But all he was worried about was in deep mourning and prayer and maybe fasting for the return of the king. What love. What love. He lost his own interests and became consumed and focused on King David. And how many times in our life, folks, do we become so involved in our interests and we become so consumed about what we're doing that we totally lose focus about the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's easy for us to do, isn't it? The writer of Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that is the essence of true cross-bearing. Matthew 16 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Folks, we simply need to reach a place in our Christian life where Jesus becomes more important than what we are. In other words, Jesus becomes so real and so great in our vision that we actually lose sight of ourselves and wind up sacrificing our entire being on the altar of his glory and the altar of his will. I like this about dedication. Dedication is writing your name on the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and handing it to the Lord to fill in. That's what dedication is. But we also see where Mephibosheth followed the king. Now you remember Mephibosheth was a cripple. And when David had to leave, in fact, if we went back to chapter 16, we see the story of King David leaving. In fact, let's go back there. I want you to see this. This is really great. Chapter 16, and look at verse number 1. In fact, let's go to this. For the sake of time, let's go. Look in verse number 1. We have time to read it. When David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba the servant of Mephibosheth met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread. By the way, how many asses? Two of them. Okay, two of them. And then in verse number 2, and the king said to Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit the young men to eat, and the wine and the such be the faint, the wilderness to drink." And verse number 3, notice this. And the king said, "And where is thy master's son?" Who is that? It's Mephibosheth. And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." Liar, liar, pants on fire. You see, Ziba had a donkey ready for Mephibosheth, and what did Ziba end up doing? Telling a lie to King David, and then went ahead and went with King David, leaving Mephibosheth there to stand for himself when he couldn't do it because he was crippled. But he wanted to follow the king. He gave. Now let's go back over to chapter 18. I want you to look at chapter 19. I'm sorry, and let's look in verse number. Look at verse number 25. And it came to pass when it was time to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, notice what David's saying to him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" Here's David saying, "Mephibosheth, why did you not go with me? I thought you were loyal to me. I thought you loved me." And can you see Mephibosheth's heart here in saying, "Hey, King David, I love you. I wanted to go with you. But Ziba, my servant, lied to you, and I couldn't come and get on a donkey. I didn't have any way of doing it." Could you see Mephibosheth's love for him? That's true devotion, folks. That's true devotion. You know, true devotion doesn't ask why. True devotion doesn't ask how or where or what. Or when. True devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ says yes. Yes. Let me ask you tonight, has the Lord been dealing with you about something He wants you to do for Him? It may be to preach. It may be to do a Sunday school class. It may be to work in the nursery. It may be just something simple as begin to tithe. Or go on a mission trip. Or do something. Lord just wants you to say yes. Not only devotion and dedication, but I also believe that Mephibosheth shows an absolute delight. Mephibosheth looked rough on the outside, but he had a heart of gold on the inside. What a heart. I want you to notice three attitudes that need to fill our hearts that Mephibosheth showed. First of all, he looked for the king. Did you notice back in verse number 24? I believe that Mephibosheth was looking for the king every day. Much like the father was looking for the prodigal son to come home, I believe Mephibosheth was looking in the same way for King David to come home. And it consumed his thoughts and it controlled his life. You know, one day, and I hope that you're doing this, but I'm really looking forward to our king to come home one of these days. To come and meet us in the eastern sky and take us out of this mess. And be reunited with our family and friends in heaven. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. I'm waiting for as Paul wrote, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That he which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day. Question that's faced us today, are you ready? If the Lord came back today, are you ready? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? I mean, if you stood before the Lord today and gave a judgment, as all of us will give a judgment on that judgment day, what would the verdict on us be? What would the verdict on you be? Could he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or would you be ashamed of what the Lord may have to say to you about what's going on in your life? But not only did he look for the king, he longed for the king. Verse number 27, I want you to notice this. It says, and as he's talking to David, he says, "And he has slandered thy servant unto my Lord." But notice what he says. This is great. "But my Lord," I love this, "but my Lord, the king, is as an angel of God." Wow, isn't that neat? The one thing that that Mephibosheth knew is that he didn't care about anything. All he cared about was his love for David. What a love. You know, I kind of think that maybe Mephibosheth nearly had the same type of love as Jonathan had for David. That type of love that was so close, and that brotherly love. But he longed for the king. Mephibosheth exhibited all the classic signs of being in mourning for David. In fact, if you read that on down, you'll notice that David had given part of the land of Mephibosheth when Ziba lied to him back to Ziba. And I want you to notice here it says, down in verse number 30, "Hey, let him take it all." Only thing Mephibosheth wanted was King David. Let me say, what else do you want? Is all you want is Jesus? It reminds me of that song, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold." What a song. You know, it was the desire of the Apostle Paul. He said, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It was the desire of David when he said in Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God." Are you looking for the Lord tonight? Are you looking for him? "Oh, Lord, brother, I'm looking for him in the eastern sky." Hey, quit looking for him in the eastern sky. He will come soon enough. Look how you can be his servant while you're here serving him. Find a ways of seeing the Lord in your daily life and how he's working in your life. Are you longing for him? But he also loved the king. Boy, he loved David. He proved this when he made that comment, "But my Lord, the king, is an angel of God." He was willing to entrust everything he had to David. You know what? Mephibosheth really didn't need anything. You know what? I mean, he ate at the king's table. The king took care of everything that he had. He didn't have any need at all. By the way, it reminds me of Philippians, where it says that Christ takes care of all our needs according to his riches and glory. What a great truth. Mephibosheth didn't have a need. Mephibosheth said, "Hey, I know I've got the rest of the inheritance of King Saul, but I don't need any of it. Why? Because I've got you." In much the same way, you know what? You can give me the world's riches. You can give me all the world's got. But let me tell you something. All I want is Jesus. All I want is Jesus. How about you? Do you want Jesus tonight? I'm not saying a feeling. I remember my former pastor saying this. If there's anything better than Jesus, there isn't anything better than Jesus. There isn't. Because he gave it all. Mephibosheth got to see his king again. And one glorious day, we're going to get to see our king again, who climbed Calvary's hill, the one that's worthy of all blessing and glory that we can give him. And I pray that you're giving him all the glory and honor in your life tonight. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the King? Do you know King Jesus? The first step of knowing is coming Him in salvation. Ask Him to be your personal Savior. If you will come to Him, I promise you, the Bible says He will no wise cast you out. But if you're saved tonight, does your life demonstrate genuine devotion, genuine dedication, genuine delight in serving the Lord? Do you enjoy serving the Lord? Do you love Him? Do you do it because you love Him? I pray so. Father, I pray this has been a help. I know this has been an encouragement to my heart about just falling in love with Jesus again. Lord, help us to fall in love with You every day of our life more than what we were the day before. And it does get sweeter as the days go by. If there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that tonight they would come, fall down this altar and ask Christ as Savior. Or if there's some away from You tonight that's been going after the world and going after the things in the world and their own ambitions, I pray that they'd get their eyes back on Jesus. And I pray that You'd use the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And we'll thank You for what You're going to do in Jesus' name. Let's stand as Pastor comes and takes the invitation. Let's stand.